Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the host, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejecting enemy. With the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Today is June 11th, the year 2023. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. You have tuned in to Words Made People, and we'll be right back after our opening theme song for our Quran reading. Our Quran reading today will be from chapter 30, verse 30, and also chapter 66, verse 6. We'll be right back. Tell a friend to tune in.
People every day trying to do things their own way, but everything you keep got to tell them, things they tell you work. To think twice before you step or give advice, make sure you are told true, cause people hold you to your word. Make people and people that make the world go round. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are just the job you are, cause those kind of words, they don't go far. The thinking starts to work combined from my disease in your mind. It's words make people and people. They make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world.
Thank you, dear people, for joining us today. We'll do our Quran reading first. That's our tradition here at Words Made People on station IWDM. You know that the best words for making people are the words of revelation and of history's collection of bodies of revelation, the collection called the Quran, the final revelation to mankind. It's the best collection of words for making people. So before we get into our conversation today, we will read from chapter, I'm going to go with chapter 6, the 6, verse 6. I'm going to go with that reading first, so you need to get to your Quran or to your online Qurans or whatever. This will be your time to do it. Chapter 66, verse 6. Excuse me while I take a little water here. We're also on Facebook Live. On my page, Michael Michel Sah here, as well as on the telephone line, as well as on the internet for this conversation today. So chapter 66, verse 6 of the Quran. And there may be some first-time listeners. There may be even some non-Muslim listeners. So we want to explain to the people our process as believers in Islam. When we read the Quran, we just don't pick up our book and begin reading. We see God's protection from Satan, the rejected, accursed enemy. And we say in Arabic, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan mir rajim. And that's when we say it in a number of words, we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan mir rajim. And then next, before reading the Quran, unless we're reading chapter 9, you don't say this next phrase. If you're reading from chapter 9, the next phrase you say before reading the Quran is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. You say that next. You say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then we are ready to read from the Quran. We just don't pick up our book as we do the newspaper or some magazine and just take off reading. We seek God's protection first. So chapter 66, verse 6 reads, Ya ayyuhalladhina aminu kul afusikum wa ahlikum naran ufar naran وَكُدُوهَا النَّاسُ وَجَهَرَتُ. It says here in this first part of this verse, O you who believe. So this is the verse speaking to believers. It didn't necessarily say believers in Islam or Christianity or Judaism. It's speaking about all. Those people who believe, yeah, are you Aladina Aminu? The word Aminu, all you who believe. It says, cool, and Fusikum. And it says, save, or some say, protect. Protect yourself, and Fusikum, yourself, wa ahlikum, and your families. So Allah is telling the believers in this verse of the Quran, He's telling us plainly, oh, you who believe, save yourself and your families. He says, from the fire. So he says, Naran, the fire, whose fuel is men, nas, and stones. Wash your jaw or two. And he says, over it are firm angels who don't flinch, who don't flinch in carrying out the commands of Allah. So Allah is telling us, if we are believers, or since we are believers, we have an obligation, a serious obligation, to save ourselves from the fire and also to save our families from the fire. The fires of sin, the fires of corruption, the fires that burn our souls, that burn our lives, save ourselves and our family. That the word atle, they're saying the family, atle. So you're saying your family, atle kun. For those who know the Arabic grammar, that kun is saying yours, yours, your families, from the fire. You fuel this man in stone. You know, you got some men, and Imam Muhammad Hussein, man means mind, they will come to us intellectual. They come to us with philosophies. They come to us with ideologies, trying to take us into the hellfire. Allah says, protect yourself and your family from those crazy thoughts. And it says, and from stones. You know, there are some people, they have a stone heart. They have a stone head, too. So they have a stone heart. They're cold-blooded. They're calculating. And they get hard. Allah says, protect yourself and your family from such people. Alhamdulillah. So we thank Allah for giving us this wonderful revelation of the Quran. This, again, there's Surah 66, verse 6. And then upon reading that, you will say, Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Allah has spoken, and Allah has spoken a mighty truth. Allah has spoken, and Allah has spoken a mighty truth. The next reading we're going to share today is Surah 30, Surah means chapter, Surah 30, Ayat 30. Ayat means verse. Surah, or let me just say it in English. Chapter 30, verse 30 of the Quran. So we have already said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. So we will say again, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Allah gives us mercy twice. Mercy for benefits, benefits that we didn't even know we needed. And then that's ar-Rahman, mercy that came just because Allah gave it to us. Before we were even birthed from our mothers, we had received mercy from God. That's ar-Rahman. Mercies that we get that we didn't even know we needed. That we needed every last one of them. Then comes the second set of mercies, ar-Rahim, the merciful benefactor, or the merciful redeemer. The first one is the merciful benefactor, give benefits to us. Allah is the benefactor who give benefits. But then the second mercy is ar-Rahim, that's a redemption or a renewal or a second set or a second chance at mercy. And only the believers get ar-Rahim. Believers and unbelievers get ar-Rahman. But only the believers get ar-Rahim because you've been renewed. You have recognized your errors. You recognize that you did not do the best. You were not the best manager of the first set of mercies. And you recognize your faults. And you turn to your Lord as a believer, and then you get ar-Rahim. You get redemption. You're redeemed. You're made anew. So we are Surah 30, Ayat 30. Allah says, فَعَكِمْ وَجْكَرْ لِدِينِ حَنِيفًا فِتْرَتَ فِتْرَتَ اللَّهِ. So set your face, your F-A-C-E, your face to the deen. Being upright, Hanifan. Set your face to the faith, or to the deen, to the religion. Being upright. And it says, what is that religion? It says, Fitrata Allahi, the faith of the nature made by Allah. The nature made by Allah. You should pause right there, because Allah is telling us that is our faith. The very nature that Allah made, that's our religion. That's our religion because it's made by Allah. And then it says, Elohim Fatoranasa. And he made us, mankind, on that same pattern. And Imam Muhammad shared with us, he said, Fatra and Fatra is not just saying nature, it's saying original. You have to add in the word original to get the impact, the power of Fatra, of Fatra, of Fatra. It's not just nature, it is the original nature ordained by Allah. The original nature ordained by Allah. So Allah says, our religion is being upright to the Fitrah Allahi. And says, and upon that, Allah made us, mankind, with from that same, that's beautiful. And we are right in line. Allah made the nature, he made it original, and he made us, the human being, on the same original plan, the same original order. Then Allah says next, he says, after that, he says, La tabdil, don't change it. Don't alter it. Don't play games with this original nature Allah has given to us. Don't change it. La means no. Tabdil is saying to change. Put it together, La tabdil, don't change it. Don't change it. La tabdil lil khaliqi, likaki Allahi. Don't change the creation that Allah has made. And it tells us why we shouldn't change it. We shouldn't alter it. Because it says, Belikal Adinu El Kiyat El Kiyat El Kiyimu. Because that is the correct religion. I know we say we're Muslims, and we are, and Christians say they're Christians, and they are. Jews, Buddhists, they say who they are, and they are, they say they are. But Allah is telling us here in Surah 30, Ayat 30, that the original pattern that he made, and he made the human being on the same pattern, he said, that is religion. That is the correct religion. That is the upright religion. It says, but, it says, وَلَكِنَّا أَكْثَرَ النَّاسُ لَا تَحْلَمُونَ. But most among men, they don't know. We're so busy adding rituals. And that's, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good, rich meaning in rituals. But we're so busy ritualizing our religion and having these additions that we add. And I guess there's some benefit in all that too. But we forget that the original nature upon which Allah made the human being, made the human family, that original nature is our religion. That is our religion. The original nature made by Allah. And Allah says, La tabdil. Don't change it. Don't change it. Alhamdulillah, sadakallahu al-azim. That is our reading for today on Words Made People. So I'm waiting for my brother, Dr. Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed to come, because he and I have been talking about this for a while, and when he's on, he can press one on his phone. But I just talked to him a little 10 minutes ago. He was getting out of a Hajj class. Now, Hajj is coming up very soon, and he said he'd be signing right on, but I don't see his number on the board. But I'm sure whenever he comes on, he'll be able to come right into the conversation. I'm not worried about that. I guess they want to get too far into it and he not be here. I'm sure you understand that. So inshallah, he'll be here. Our topic today, I think it's a long overdue topic. It's going to be a Islamic conversation. We are looking for Muslims to share in this conversation their thoughts. And the topic is regarding LGBTQ, LG, I'm sure that's the alphabet correct. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I think it's LGBTQ, yes. So what do we as Muslim parents tell our Muslim children? We just read from the Quran where Allah tells us to protect ourselves, save ourselves, and our children. So Allah telling us that we as Muslim parents not only have a right, we have an obligation to our children. And so we're looking for Muslim parents mainly to join in today. Everyone's welcome to listen. Everyone's welcome to share their thoughts and all that. But we are really looking for Muslim parents that can share in this conversation, because this is our focus is on our Muslim children, to be about the business of saving the next generation. That's why we're here. One of the main reasons why we are here is to inherit the best from the previous generations and to have it and to preserve it, build upon it as needed, but to pass it on to the next generation. This is our job. This is our task before us. So our conversation today will be centered around this topic. We know it is a sensitive topic. It's a highly charged topic. You know all this. But as Muslims, we have to continue in the same spirit that we had when we became Muslim. And when we became Muslim, we were pretty much, in a lot of ways, we were cutting across the grain. The grain of society was going one direction, and our thinking and our aspirations were going a 90-degree difference, and both were in motion. Society was in motion, but so was our thinking. And so in order for us to get to the point to where we were willing to change a family name, we could have crossed the grain. We changed our food we ate, and some of us changed the people who we would hang around with, because we were being born anew. We were being made all over again. And so we still have that same fighting spirit in us now. Yeah, sometimes it's not that we no longer loved our family when we changed our name. Matter of fact, sometimes we loved our families more when we changed our name. But we had that spirit, that fighting spirit, knowing that it was going to upset some people. We still changed our names. But we love them more. And in time, they learn to love us more. It happened in a lot of Muslim families. So we changed our food. We changed a whole lot about ourselves. And all the time, seeking to please our Creator, seeking to please God. All the time, seeking to please God. And so that's the spirit we are in today. We're in that spirit today of trying to please in this conversation. Not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. Not trying to attack no one. And let me make this perfectly clear today, dear listeners. If you take the call from people, if a person get into name calling and attacking, I will mute your phone. If not, take you totally out of the conversation. Because we are not here to attack anybody. We're here to teach our children and to learn from each other. What can we as Muslims teach our children about LGBTQ, because it is so prevalent and so dominant in the society? So if anybody get on here in the attack mode or name calling or whatever, or bashing people, it's not going to be tolerated. It's not going to be tolerated now whatsoever. Because that's not what we're here for. We are here to have a conversation amongst Muslim parents about what do we teach our children about LGBTQ. And that's our obligation. That's our obligation. So I'm hoping you have Nasa come on very soon. I don't think that's him on top. You don't have a 614 number. I don't think you do. You know, Nasa, are you with us? 614 number? No, that's not him. Put them back on hold. So I'm going to keep talking for a little bit longer. I just talked to him. There he is. There's my brother. Okay. Going to bring on our beloved Imam, highly respected Imam, Dr. Nasser Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum, Akeem.
Wa alaikum assalam, Imam Sahih. Thank you for the invitation for this wonderful program.
Oh, thank you for the inspiration. Yes. I was just telling the listeners, this is a long overdue topic, a serious topic, but the verses that we read from the Quran, no, Surah 66, verse 6, tells us to save ourselves and our families, and so we're going to obey the Quran. And also we read from Surah 30, Ayah 30, where Allah says that He established the original nature and built and made us on the same pattern, and that is our religion. And don't change it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I don't know if you have any reflections you want to share on those two verses before we got into our conversation.
Yes. those verses are to give us some idea of our freedom of choice or our free will, but it is also to remind us that we do not have total free will. Most human beings don't realize it. Our freedom of choice is really very limited. You know, I can raise my hand, I can walk closed and open my eyes. That's free will, limited free will. But I have no control over how my heart beats, how my glands will secrete hormones, how my hair grows. I cannot, in millions and millions of functions that go on in my physical body. It's just a handful of things that we human beings have some choice, some matter of say-so. In particular, the inimmutable, or that which cannot be changed, is your gender. You cannot change gender. You can change maybe appearances of, but you can't change the gender itself. You know, I can put on a dress or what have you, but underneath the dress, I'm still the male that eons of efforts have brought to this point of development. So it's like if you're on a real ocean and you have a tide, when the tide goes out, you can write your name in the sand. But I guarantee you, when the tide comes back in, your name won't be there. So that's what God is trying to say.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. I like that. I like that. Okay. So, and also I was sharing with the listeners, this is a serious conversation, and we want to hear from the Muslims. Muslim parents as to what their thoughts or concerns may be on this topic of Muslim children as it relates to LGBTQ. But at the same time, I was telling the listeners, if you get in the name calling and bashing, I personally will mute them or take them totally out of the conversation because we're here to share the wisdom.
Right.
And I heard Imam Muhammad, as you well, should be all heard it, Imam Muhammad said in reference to those who may be gay or homosexual, he said that he would halal them and give them right. Now, you know that the process of halal, the prophet said, make sure that your sword is very sharp so you will not cause any suffering.
That's correct.
So we're not trying to, make anybody feel bad, shameful, or whatever about their sexuality. But at the same time, we as Muslims, we are not apologizing for being clear on what our book says, on what our prophet exemplified, and what Imam Muhammad gave us, and other learned Muslims as well. We're not going to apologize for sharing what we have to share. So
yes,
I just wanted to reiterate that. And another point, too, is that if society, and as they have done so very well, and we appreciate it, if we go to a dinner or a party, they say, because Michael Sahir, you know, he don't drink, you know, he don't eat no pork, and they have went out of the way, and we appreciate this. They'll make a provision because they know I don't drink or I don't eat pork. You know, or sometimes I've noticed that they have even taken the conversation a little bit out of respect for the good they see in us as being Muslims. I said, that's good. And even we do a lot of interfaith, right? Now, they know we don't believe Jesus as being the Son of God. They know we don't believe Jesus as being God. But when we go to their churches, they will accommodate us.
Yes, right? Sir.
And when they come to our mosque, you know, we accommodate them. So the accommodations are in place. But for some reason, and then we get into our conversation, if we say, well, we don't believe in same-sex marriage, oh, boom, now they're ready to hang us by a rope. Wait a minute. You respected my choice not to drink and smoke and eat pork based on my religion. But now you want to exercise me because of this. So let's get into our conversation, buddy, now. Let's get into our conversation. There's so many areas to cover. I got some notes, but I don't know where to start. I don't know if you got a starting point for us or not, but let's get into our conversation. What do Muslim parents tell our Muslim children about LGBTQ? You have any thoughts?
Oh, you're talking to me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. What I wanted to say to your listeners is,
yes,
you know, if we go to any high school as a Christian preacher, and if that preacher tries to convert the students to Christianity, they'll put him out of the high school. If a Jewish rabbi goes to a high school and he tries to convert the students to Judaism, they'll put him out of the high school. If we Muslim imam will go to a high school, try to convert the children to Islam, they'll put us out. Now, the same should hold true for the gay and lesbian community. They should not be allowed to proselytize or try to get converts into their way of thought. If a religious man cannot make efforts to convert people to his thoughts, and how can they have freedom to do something which is less on the scale of dignity and consistency with nature than men of the religious order? So that's something to think about, just as a general point of view, you know, for our listeners. And we have a saying, we have a saying in Islam that your body has a right. The body has rights. The body has a right to food. The body has a right to water. The body has a right to clothing, and et cetera. And so the issue becomes this movement. I mean, we're speaking in general. This is the introductory. This movement has been juxtaposition or put next to the civil rights freedom movement of African Americans. And it's confusing, because the African-American civil rights human movement is a human movement. It's for human freedom, although they don't use the term human rights. They use civil rights. It's the Muslims that cautioned them years ago that if you use the term civil rights, it's too limited. The Muslims were trying to recommend to them at that time, call it human rights. And so, for example, if you want to have clean air, that's a human right to have clean air. But the individual can choose to smoke a cigarette. Now he has personally polluted his air. And that's not a human right anymore. It's a choice. And that choice has gone against the best interest of his lungs. Same thing if you want clean water. And so that's a human right. It's a universal human right. It applies to every human being, no matter where he is on the planet Earth. Clean water, clean air. However, he can choose to pollute, and he would drink alcohol, vodka, whiskey. And so what we're trying to get people to understand, it's a difference between human rights movement and a freedom of choice, and they're not the same. And this is where the confusion is in many African Americans in leadership. We're so hurt by what happened to us on slavery to anybody who complains of being mistreated in any form or fashion, we want to support them. But no, you have to be clear. You have to be clear that you're supporting human nature and not a choice. It's a difference. And this is what has to be pointed out, and it has to be brought over and over for a while until it dawns on the mind of the people, oh, that is right. I'm making a choice against the best interest of my own body. That's the most important thing. If I smoke a cigarette, I'm against my body. Although I'm a human being, my choice is against my humanity. If I drink alcohol, same thing. I'm a human being, but I have chosen, and that choice is against the best interest of my kidneys. And you see? And this is where we have to help people. It's not attacking anybody. It's what is being done to the human edifice, to this high temple that has been created by God, the human being. There's nothing higher than a human being, nothing more valuable than the human being. And the human being should not be defaced. He should not be made a mockery. You see? Yes, we believe in one in one. One male body, one man in the male body. One and one. One female and one woman in the female body. What is wrong with that? How is that hate speech? That's freedom speech. When the baby is small, when it's very, very young, you call that baby by its gender. If it's 1 year old or 2 years old, you come here, boy. Come here, girl. You call it based on its gender. It's long afterwards, 17 years later or 20 years later, then you start seeing confusion in identity. So this is a gender identity crisis that is psychological and is going against the biological. And for the listeners, they have to understand what you have in your psychology upstairs should be verified by the biology that you have downstairs. And your biology is first before you have your psychology. I just want to make this point to your listeners. Please, dear listeners, please listen. Your nature is given to you first, long before you have any thoughts. And the nature is given to you first for a long time before you have thoughts, so that you will not be confused as to what your identity is. It's a long time before the human being talks, long time before the human being walks. Why? Because God wants to make sure he's comfortable in the body that he gave him. You know, you should be comfortable in your skin. You should be comfortable in your body. And much like Imam Sahir and I were talking a little earlier, this problem is the same problem that African Americans suffered years ago in the 50s and the 40s, where somebody told them something was wrong with that black body. Somebody told you your skin was black and it was wrong. Somebody told you your hair was nappy and it's wrong. Somebody told you your nose was big and it's wrong. Somebody told you back then, 50, 60 years ago, your thick lips was a sign of inferiority. Okay, that same problem that black people suffered from 50, 60 years ago, the so-called gender problem has replaced it. Now, here you have a person has been given a body, and they're not comfortable with the body, just like the black man was not comfortable with his black skin. Who told the black man that his black skin was a curse? Who told him that and made him to hate that? The same mind that's telling a male to dislike his masculine body and that he's a male inside of a male body. So the pattern is the same. And we have to help people with this identity crisis. Yes, it's nothing wrong with your anatomy. It's perfect. Eons and eons and millions and trillions of years have gone into the formulation of the two sacred roles, and I said sacred roles of the male and the female. You may call yourself a homosexual, but it took two different people to get you here. And that's the core. That's your foundation piece. If you call yourself a lesbian, you're same sex, but you couldn't get here if you didn't have two different sexes. If you call yourself a homosexual and you're going with the same sex of a guy, each one of you needs to have differentiation, a male and a female, to bring your life into reality. So we have to come back home. You see what I mean? And we've been hurt as a people. And I'm not talking about blacks only now. This is an interracial thing where people are having trouble with this identity crisis. Yeah. And so all we need is to understand what is basically there. You know, you cannot change your biology. I'm so happy to tell people this. You cannot change your biology. And I'm thankful to God. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And these people have
been tricked. Yeah, they have been tricked. They have been deceived. And you know what I'm hearing, Brother Imam? As we've been talking lately, this is coming up around the country. People who are in the movement are saying themselves that they realize they have been deceived. And they're not getting the microphone like we have, but it's growing in numbers, you know. And we're thankful to Almighty God. And it's much like the person who's born and he becomes an alcoholic. At some point in his life, if he lives long enough, he'll realize that he made a mistake. And he or she will say, man, I remember when I wasn't an alcoholic. So now they want to come back to the human being and realize that the choice that they made as an alcoholic worked against them, with their brain, their kidneys, and on and on and on. You see what I mean? So it's not a matter of attacking them. Yeah, we're not attacking. They are human beings, but we need to question our thoughts, you know, what we are entertaining in our minds. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Imam, for this invitation. You know, because they're human beings, and we have to help our people. Yeah.
Yes. You know, and that way she was speaking, it reminded me of our Quran reading today, Surah 30, Ayah 30. You know,
yes,
that
sir.
Original nature, and, you know, she said for eons.
Yeah.
You know, it has been there for eons. You know, so Allah says, don't change that original nature. Allah made us on the same pattern he made nature. And don't change it.
That's right.
You know, and so.
That's right.
This is what we want our Muslim youth to know. Our Muslim youth need to know our book. Know your Quran. Know what Allah says in the Quran. So that when you are faced with these concerns, these issues in the classroom, because it's sad, as you know, I think they even deny the parents for coming in the classroom, which I think is really sad. So we have to prepare our children with what Allah says in the Quran, because you know, life is going to go on. Life is going to go on. So don't change that original nature, that original state. We do have people
with
hands who have been up to ask questions and comments as well, so I can work them into our conversation. I do have to apologize to those who are on Facebook Live. I'm sorry, it keeps going in and out. But show Facebook Live. You can call this number. It went out again. Wow. My Facebook keep going in and going out.
Yeah.
Now I'm
going
to tell them that they can call in to the show directly. And
yes, sir.
Because they're trying to follow the conversation, but it's going in and going out, and it's just really crazy. And I have to apologize to them when they come back on. But anyway.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you want to begin to engage our listeners now, or we can make our different points along the way?
Yeah. Okay? That'll be fine.
First caller here, that's right here from my city, Indianapolis. First caller, 317-251. Can you give us your city and your first name, if you so choose, and your question or comment?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mustafa Abdullah, Indianapolis.
Yes, sir, Brother.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, sir. Yes, Brother Umar, I did make a dua today for this program, and my dua did we make hikmah, use hikmah as we use it, as we answer your question. I like what Brother Nasser shared about explaining to them that it took a male and a female to get them here. For those that hate males or those that hate females and want to be with females, and the males hate females and want to be with males, but it took the male and the female to get you here. So I like that point he made in his conversation. And what I try to do is use what the Quran said. You know, I tell my daughters to respect those people that say they lesbian or gays or transgender, to respect them. They have a right to live the life they want to live. They choose to live, but Allah didn't make them that way. They chose to be that way. You know, I had a run-in one time with my daughter at school because the teacher got mad that she didn't call Bruce Jenner by her trans name. She called him Bruce Jenner. So I had to deal with that situation and explain to her, you know, we are not here to name call or to embarrass anybody. But she had the right, you know, to say Bruce Jenner. She couldn't make her call her by, I can't think of Bruce Jenner, a female name.
Caitlin,
yeah, Caitlin. But the teacher got on her bad about that, so I had to, you know, address that. And I shared with her, you know, the surah, to you be your way and to me be mine. And that's how we have to use the Quran. Thank you for your time, Brother Man.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Brother Manafa, yeah, let's speak a little bit about that. There are some aggressive teachers that are promoting this to youth, and we don't have our own Muslim schools in many situations, so I'm Muslim triggering a subject to that.
Should
a parent tell their child?
Right. What we should tell our children is that we should build our identity with an appreciation for my human life in its excellence more than appreciating my political persuasion or even my gender persuasion or ambition. Nothing is more important than the life of the original soul created by God. That's what we have to tell our children. And what helps a lot of children, I tell them, is that, you know, once a year, you will change your costume. You call it Halloween. Okay? And you know consciously you're putting on a costume. You know that's not the original you. And most children can get it. They get, oh, I see what you're saying. So I tell them oftentimes your first self, your original self, is what you have. And these others become costumes. And we don't want to confuse our identity with the costume and the original person. And they seem to get that real easy, you know. And they kind of laugh at me, you know what I mean? Even though I don't intend for it to be a joke. But it's humorous. They just, and then they start telling, oh, yeah, I dressed up like Frankenstein and this, that, and the other thing. So I tell them, yeah, the same with personalities. You know how you go to a grocery store, and what do? You go and you shop for food. You shop for cookies. Right. You shop for potato chips. You shop for meat. You shop for lamb. And I tell them, some people are so insecure that they shop for personalities, you see?
Mm.
And this world has created personalities for you to buy, which becomes this artificial self that is over your first or your original self. And
the
most important thing that most people don't understand is when you wear a costume, the costume cannot support itself. And I hope your listeners will please listen very sincerely. You know, if you have a shirt and it's in your closet, the shirt cannot support itself. A jacket, it can't support itself. A dress, it cannot support itself. It has to be supported by a hanger. And if you take it off the hanger, it's going to drop on the ground. So it needs something to support it. So the dress, you put it on your body, or the shirt, you put it on your body. So the same thing with these personalities. All these other personalities cannot support themselves. They need the original person that God brought from the womb of mother. And then you put all of those other selves or costumes on that originality. That's what's going on. Yes, I'm talking to the adults right now, you know.
Yes.
And this is mercy. If you have real knowledge, and I'm talking to our listeners, if you have real knowledge, then it's a mercy. But when you don't have truthful knowledge, it punishes people. And so we are obligated to give knowledge that will keep our original nature that God gave us before it is spoiled by mistakes, which is in the true identity of the human being. That's where the mistake can be made. And I just want to say this to you. Thing about the human being is that he's the only creation that can choose. He can choose to be a human. He can choose to be a dog. He can choose to be a cat. He can choose to be a bear, on and on and on and on. The dog cannot choose to be a human, cannot choose to be an eagle. So therefore, even though choice is the great strength of the human, if he doesn't keep his moral intact, then his choice will be harmful to him. He will be hurt by his choice because he didn't keep it in context with his morality. Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, people make choices, sometimes good choices, sometimes bad choices. But digging a little further on that aggressive teacher that's trying to promote ideals to our youth that we don't want them to have, just to put it directly, if we know that if a Muslim or any parent is not present at the school every so often, you know, it's kind of like you have someone in your family who's in a nursing home, if you don't make your presence your loved one in that nursing home or in prison, they are subject to whatever the system is dishing out. And the same way school. That, you know, and we're not going to be trying to be unnecessary, be out of order, but just let you know that that parent cares. And, you know, I know they dress differently, whatever, eat different. But I know one thing about it, that mother and father love that child. And so then when you go and make your point, say that, you know, so there has to be a way for us as parents to, not enforce, but that's what comes to my mind, is to our presence and our voice and our concerns. Because there has to be a counter voice of the other side of this conversation. Because Muslim children, and I'm sure many of us in some cities, if they have Muslim children to come home confused on the issue.
Yes.
And
in response to that, you know, I taught at elementary school, high school, college, and some medical school. And in the teachings, with all teachers, we demand that the student always be truthful. This is what we demand. So when you're in elementary school, you ask the little child, how much is 2 plus 2? You say 4. How much is 4 plus 4? 8. How much is 6 divided by 3? The answer is 2. You want a truthful answer. That's the point I'm trying to make. Every question that you have, what you call the empirical sciences, you have to always arrive at what? Truth. That which cannot be deny. And then we turn around and we tell people that you are a male in a female body. It's inconsistent. That's where the confusion comes with the child. In one hand, you're telling me you demand that I add up and I subtract correctly. But in the other hand, sociologically, you give me something that's confusing. So now if the society, I'm talking about the academic society, if it will affect my behavior in such a way that my mind and my human sentiments are no longer suiting the original identity that I came in the world with from my mommy, or it is no longer agreeing with that identity, what do we now have? See, this is what most people have to understand. What we now have in that case is a foreign life created. We do not have the original human type. For all intents and purposes, that original human is dead. And this is what this is where the danger comes in. And I hope your listeners will pay strict attention to what we're saying. The human being can only exist in a true environment, in a truthful environment. And we confuse ourselves in terms of identity by looking at biological life. My heart is beating. My lungs is exchanging gases. That's biological life. The dog has biological life. The bear has biological life. That's not human. Human is the intelligence that is grounded in high morality, that has evolved into a state of ethics. That's the human that will not accept a contradiction in his psychological identification. And so that's where the problem is. We're creating a society that will no longer create the human life, but is creating foreign lives in their original body. Okay? And look, you know, this is... I think most people need to understand this. I just want to make this point, and then I'm going to let it go. You have your originality. This is important, dear listeners. All of us have originality. It's not a one of us that is not original. But later on, we can have something artificial taught to us, and that goes in our mind. Now what happens is I have artificiality that's placed on top of my originality. And there's going to be a conflict. Sooner or later, that battle is going to play itself out. And I'm talking to your listeners. This is the danger. This is the psychological danger that happens in this situation. They call it living a lie. My life is now a lie, L-I-E. I'm not truthful to the body that I have been given. My loyalty has been thrown to the ground. You see? So that in the, as that happens, in time, man gets off of the natural track. He loses his original behavioral nature and his original form. And God has to reestablish him. And that's what we're doing now. We are doing our best to reestablish sincere, innocent people who have been hoodwinked by the thousands. And that's our role. If Jesus was alive, he would do the same thing. Moses was alive, he'd do the same thing. Muhammad, they would take the same stand. And the most important thing for your listeners' sake, if the homosexual, lesbian, and two males marrying and two females, look, if it was so important, don't you realize it would be in religion? Don't you know somewhere in past religion you'd have two prophets, two male prophets marrying each other? Or two female marriage marrying each other, but you can't find that in no religion. And that's to let you know that this is something that is detrimental to human society. So I'm just saying some things, to get our people, our good people. I have, and I'm going to say this to your listeners because this is important for me. I grew up as a Catholic in Chicago, Illinois. And I went to high school with a friend, and I won't even say his name now because he's probably still living. And we would play as boys. And then we were separated, I would say maybe around sixth grade, and I didn't see him again until we were in high school. And by that time, he was wearing a dress and had changed his male name to a female name. Okay? Wow. Now, this is real. I saw this happen in my lifetime. And this is not mockery. This really did happen. And so he told us later on that what had happened to him was that he was raped by his own family member, an uncle. And it was so traumatic until he felt guilty. He was the victim, but he felt guilty. He didn't feel that he had any essence and that it must have been something wrong for him for that to happen. So therefore, what I'm trying to say to the listeners is that I saw the transition in the human, in my own personal life. My friend, you know, childhood, elementary school friend, and all of a sudden now he's 19, 20 years old, not the same person. He's the same body, but he wasn't the same mental.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Wow.
Yeah, so we're trying to get people to understand what we're talking about. Don't take it as an attack. Take it as a fight for liberation. Just like the black man had to have freedom rights leaders, so must the homosexual community. They got to have the human rights leader come into their movement and tell them, look, we made a mistake. Somebody has tricked us and deceived us. And that's the language, you know?
Well, let me ask you on this point here. You say human and human rights. That covers everybody.
Yes, sir.
Human rights. Because now, if a person is gay or lesbian or whatever, now, and I said this before, and I don't mind saying it again, look, if that's their choice or that's their life, they should not be attacked physically. They should be able to be hired on a job and promoted like anybody
else.
If they have the skills, as you know, they should be able to live in peace where they want to live at. If they can pay the rent or whatever. I will make that point clear. As human beings, as a black man or a white man or a gay person or whatever, or a male or female, as human beings, we respect that. So we don't want to confuse, as you say, that this is not an
attack. Right.
This is us clarifying our position as Muslims.
Yeah.
And I have about 70 callers, 5-6 callers. Because I want to be patient. I mean, I'm going to be patient just for a minute. Because I make this point on human rights. Because we all have human rights. And we all want to protect that for each and every person. But I don't have the right to take my blackness or my African-Americanness and force that on you in conversation.
Exactly.
And anything.
There you go.
And likewise,
you don't have the right
to force your stuff on society. And that's where we're having the problems at, because they are trying to force it on people. And I reject it. So now, here in Indianapolis, it happened. There are certain Muslim groups that have formed over the last 15, 20 years. And in their eagerness to be accepted by the bigger society, they have acquiesced. And they will join in with others because, as you said earlier, as African Americans, since we suffer so hard, then we feel empathy for the others who suffer as well and join them.
Right.
But they tell us that if we are not supporting, they tell us as African-Americans, and now in this case African-American Muslims, if we're not supporting them to get their LGBTQ rights, then we are on the side of the racist. We're on the side of the enemy because the racist is the enemy to all of us. And therefore, if you're not going to support me, and so what happened here, when I saw locally here in Indianapolis, in other cities, the gay rights people took the lead in defending the Muslims. Very loud and very strong. So, and then when time passed by, now they wanted reciprocity.
Yes, sir.
I mean, they want to say,
I got it.
It's kind of like, this is my personal. I said, were they being set up? when the gay defeated the Muslim
right.
girl.
That's
so we
right.
want you to come back. But go ahead.
Sure.
I'd like to get your comments.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Now, look, this is very important, again, as points in all religions. You know, I know many verses in the Bible that condemns homosexuality. I can point them out. If anybody wants the references, I can give them to them. Okay?
Yes.
So across the board, religiously, all of the scriptures have had their speech to defend human nature. I said human
mm-hmm.
nature. Although everybody is a human being, everybody does not always act a human being. And to these people who are confused, black minorities, okay, we are not looking to take on any group's weaknesses nor identity, especially serious behavioral problems. We want to keep our historical, socially evolved human excellence. That's the difference. Okay? You know, I've heard people say, look, they've been around. I heard a homosexual say this in the media. Don't worry about it. Homosexuality has been around for a long time. Well, brother, let me tell you this. Murderers have been around for the same length of time. Does that make it right? If a man, he's a human being. He's a human, but he chooses to murder another person. So do we go and make a law book? Do we go and demand President Biden give him the right to commit murder? No, we don't. There are limits to human freedom. And you either are in support of humanity or you're taking actions against humanity. It's just that simple. If I was me, myself, I'm the kind of person, if I was drinking alcohol, I wouldn't demand that I be given some kind of rights to drink alcohol. Why would I not do that? Number one, I respect morality, and I know my position is wrong. I know it's wrong. I'm not going to try to make a lie out of it and get somebody to accept my evil as equal to principled people. No, and that's the number one problem. Listen, you got a problem, you need to deal with that problem and be honest in your own soul. And the reason why I'm saying this,
yes, sir.
Any person, when they are awake, they should be the same way when they are asleep. And I want to say this to your listeners. Okay?
Okay.
If what you are is real, then the way you are awake, it will be the same way you are when you are asleep. And I'm telling you, the person who says he's a homosexual and he practices, talks, and walks the given way when he sleeps, he don't sleep like that. He sleeps like the original male that God made him. And your listeners need to listen to what I just told them and check it out. Your female who tries to say she's a man, when she's awake and she's dressed like me and you, when she goes to sleep, she sleeps like a woman. Okay? Nature takes over when you are asleep. Nature tells you who you really are. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Again, as I said earlier, the biology is before the psychology. Your anatomy is there before you start thinking. And your thoughts are either going to support your anatomy or your thoughts are going to be against your anatomy. It's just that simple. And it's just
yes,
like
sir.
The costume that we put on in Halloween. You don't wear
mm-hmm.
the costume 24 hours a day, 360 days a year. You take the costume off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is
mm-hmm.
an effort to reach the conscience of the good human being who may call himself a lesbian or a gay person. You're a human being, and that's a costume. It's not a put-down. When I was a little
yes,
boy,
sir.
I used to call myself a Negro. I used to call myself colored. That was the costume that the society gave me. They gave
yes,
me that costume to wear. Okay? That's not what God
mm-hmm.
gave me. That's not what nature
mm-hmm.
gave me. And it took
yes,
Elijah
sir.
Muhammad, Malcolm X, and others to get me to realize that what I was saying was wrong against my own self. And that's where we are now. And I thank those
yes,
people
sir.
Who took the chance on losing their lives to save me when I was going to defend my foolishness. I'm a color.
Yeah.
I'll kill you if you call me black. Yeah, I said that. And I would get
days.
In fight.
I remember those days.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So the
yeah.
same thing right now. Yeah. And that most
okay.
homosexuals are innocent. they are experimenting. They are not true homosexuals. I'm telling you, I know this to be true.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, we're going to go
like
to the phone line. Go ahead.
Okay.
People have been very patient, and we appreciate your patience. You're going to come on down the phone line and try and get people in order to call. Some of them push one more than once. But we're going to go with 925. So it's 925-282. Thanks for calling Words to Make People. Can you give us your first name, your city, and your question and comment?
Assalamu alaikum. How you doing today, Brother Imam?
Doing salam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
This is Imam Yahya. You know who this is, Imam Mikhail.
Yes.
Long time no talk to my brother. I'm really enjoying the conversation that your brother are having. I want to just briefly give a little bit of a historical background on the LGBTQ community. You know, I was living in California back in the day, and I represented the Muslim community in the Interdenominational Ministerial Alliance, an interfaith group. And at that time, the gay community was saying, using the same word that Donald Trump used, that today about people coming around, peeping in their windows, you know, witch hunt and stuff like that, you know, trying to find out what invading their privacy and that kind of thing. They had Willie Brown, who was one of the political leaders in San Francisco at that time, really pushing homosexuality on the people. And so at that time, they act like they were the victims, that people were invading their privacy. Now they've become an all-out aggressive movement. You know, they've gone into various locales and paid local politicians to support their movement. They've even given the NAACP money to support their movement so that they could get more name recognition and that kind of thing. And as Imam Nasir just said a little while ago, they compared their movement to the African-American struggle. And so that we as African-American can accept them due to our historical hardships and so forth. So I want to say this, that most people don't think of it as a constitutional issue. There's no such thing concerning sex in the U.S. Constitution. Our framers' minds wasn't on who you were sleeping with or who you were living with. They were on the human rights type topics when they were writing the U.S. Constitution. It wasn't about that kind of activity, you know. And when we study the definition of the word constitution, it is part of our human makeup, you know, as in the Quran in Surah 30 and 30, you know, where as the Imam was just quoting, you know, about the natural pattern that Allah has created us on. So these kinds of topics are man-made. And they are there in order to pull humanity off the right track. And I think that as Muslims, we should be in the forefront being the example that Allah would have human society to be, you know, and oppose these kinds of things, and both in word and in conduct.
Yes,
and I just wanted to make that statement, Brother Man.
Yeah, thank you very much, Brother Imam. Yeah. Imam Nasser, you have any reflections on what he just said? Imam Nasser? Did we lose him? Maybe he's on mute. Okay, yeah.
Well, you know.
Some good points. because some of the things, other things that you just shared, because the focus is on our Muslim children. You know, what they're going to teach them in the classroom about the Constitution. That's good. But at the same time, we as Muslims, we have our, as you just shared with us, we have our thoughts and reflections on the Constitution and what it means. We have to be about the business of teaching our children. And don't think they, because they're in the first, second, third, fourth grade, that they're too young to comprehend. They're not. They can comprehend very well these concepts if you use the right language to share these concepts with them.
Brother Ma'am, have you ever heard the statement that that person has a strong constitution? You know, we used to say that, you know, meaning that this person is able to withstand, you know, adverse conditions. Well, the term constitution, when we use the United States Constitution, is not just some arbitrary term mm-hmm. that is taken from within the construct of the human makeup. It has to do with having high values. It has to do with having high standards and these kind of things. And it is saying that you have the strength, that the inner strength that was given to you by Allah to withstand the negative influences that may come against you. So the United States Constitution takes its name from the human construct that Allah gave us. Now, sex is not a constitutional issue. You know, the Constitution was based on freedom of speech, freedom of the press, of religion, and these kind of things. Those issues that constitute the advancement of human society. It wasn't based on sex is not a constitutional right. Sex is not a right at all. Sex is just what you do. You know, it only becomes a right if somebody tried to stop you from doing it, you know, but it is not listed in the framework of a right. You know what I'm saying? It's just what you do, you know, but people will use it, you know, to in order to try to get support for their irrational movement, you know.
Yes,
now, there's a term we call homophobic, you know, and when we talk about homophobic, you know, they use it as somebody who rejects homosexuality. But if you look up the term phobic or phobia, the definition of phobia is an extreme or irrational fear or aversion to something, you know. So if you say an extreme or irrational fear, well, you know, if you support something like homosexuality, there is a fear that your generation will see because they don't produce future generations. You see. But it's not an extreme or an irrational process. It's intelligent thinking. It is not irrational, you know, in that sense. It's intelligent thinking. It's something that is well thought out. If you have a phobia, you know, against homosexuality, well, why? Because my generation will cease to exist if we promote that kind of thinking. So there's nothing irrational about that. And I think that we need to have that kind of language out there in the public discourse, you know, to combat, you know, these fear tactics that they put out there.
Very good point. I have a long list of callers I need to get to, but I do want to just, as I sign you out,
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, that word phobia doesn't mean hate. Phobia means you have an irrational fear. You have anorexophobia. People, they're scared, as hell as spiders. I mean, they have a really irrational reaction, scream, tip on furniture because of spiders. So phobia doesn't mean you hate somebody. Phobia means that you have a fear that doesn't make any sense. So the point that brother's making, and I agree, you don't accept that idea that we have an irrational fear of homosexuals. That's not so. We have a Quran-based, rational-based conversation of following the Word of God. Okay, 409, thank you for your patience, and thank all you all for your patience. We got time. We're going to try to get to everybody today. Caller for 409, thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please, and your question, and your comment?
That's Shafiq, 409-795-1991, brother.
Yes, sir. I was trying not to get your whole phone number on the internet, but you just did. That's you.
All right, brother. Yeah, this brother Shafiq.
Where are you from?
From the Houston area. That's the Ward Dean.
Yes, sir, brother Shafiq. What's your question and comment? What are your thoughts?
I have a comment, brother. I'm kind of an older brother, and I remember when I would look at TV, I was, you know, the TV thing was, we see all kind of things promoting the family and good morals. But now, I'm quite sure you see this way, where you live, wherever you live at. When you turn on TV, you see commercials promoting this. Right out, men kissing men, women kissing women. So I think that this, the government and the media is the most powerful tools in this country that's promoting this. And I kind of feel everybody's not mentally made up the same. And some people, when they see this stuff, they take it to be normal, the way people should act. So they try to act out what they see on TV and what they see other people doing.
Yes, that's true. I mean, there is an obvious promotion of it. You know, like in the public venue. So let's go back to our premise for today. What do we tell our children? We can't be with them 24/7. And they're going to see these TV shows. So what do we as Muslim parents tell our children?
Yeah, these commercials, man.
Yes. I mean, it's all over. You know, so as Imam Nasser was saying, I don't know if he's still with us. I think he should still be here with us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm here. Yes.
Yes, sir. You know, we have to, it's a type of war. I mean, like it's mental and spiritual, but it is definitely a type of war. And if we don't, a lot of times we wait and say, well, the child's innocent and they're young and we don't want to disturb them or give them too much, or put this on their mind. Well, even if you don't want to, as you just said, Brother Shafiq, TV is not waiting. They're putting it on our children's minds. Sometimes a child can't even speak a whole sentence clear. And it used to, and as you said, it used to be, I watched some TV shows, what they call prime time, when time when everyone is eating dinner, and you hear the word bitch and damn, and all those, I mean, it is super common. And they have sexual situations that a child is not ready to mentally engage is super common. So if they're not waiting to bring their message, and we often see it as an attack on our morality, then we cannot wait in teaching our children on how to defend themselves against such conversations. We can't wait. You know, Muslim parents don't wait. Teach your children. If they, and I was looking online, just searching information on this, and there's this thing called SOGI. S-O-G-I, I can't even remember what it stood for. But, and they have the Rainbow Song, which is promoting that all men don't like women and all. And so they are teaching, they have, and they have little big churches, like 5, 6, 7 years old, singing these songs. So if they are not waiting, why in the heck are we waiting? As parents, and we are Muslim parents, we know what our book teaches. We know the Imam of our prophet. We're not going to teach our children to go and hate or anybody like that. So please don't try to put that burden on us, because we're going to fire back at you. If you try to put that burden on us, we're not going to accept it. We're going to fire back at you. I'm going to say that third time. We're going to fire back at you. What you're going to bring, we're going to get back to you. But this is our choice, not your choice. So if you can announce anything you want to add to this, because he basically makes a very good point. TV,
Yes, sir. Yeah, here's what we have to tell our children, and it's a matter of finding that language. But we're talking to adults, and you take it and translate it for the language you use for your children in your house. But the point is, our great leaders, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, etc., and our living leaders, you know, when you give the natural life, by natural life we mean from the womb, we have to go back to the beginning. There's no way you can get around that. When you give that natural life something artificial, and then you impose that artificial on that natural life, that is really strange to the life of the womb. What happens? The behavior registered in that life is confused. And people, this is the issue they want to dodge. Now, original life, it becomes confused, so much so that it will send you into extremes if it has to get rid of that foreign problem. The nature to register what is going on, what the influences is asking of the natural system inside of you and me, it becomes confused, and then it sends your spirit or my spirit and behavior into extremes. So a person will go into extremes and try to get rid of that thing, which is not natural, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is what we have to tell our children. You're going to have manifest problems sooner or later. It's just a matter of time. And like the previous speaker has said, the minister, the imam, you know, if you have three different farms, and one farm has three milk cows, and you know milk cows are female cows, right? And another farm has three bulls, and bulls are male cows, right?
Right.
And then you have a farm that has three females and three bulls. Now, the farm that only has three milk cows, female cows, 20 years from now, they'll still have only three. The farm that has three bulls, 20 years now, they'll only have three. But that farm that has milk cows and bulls, 20 years from now, they will have hundreds. And it goes back to what the brother said. Nature is supporting whether something is right or wrong. Nature is the answer. If you stick your finger in an electric socket, nature going to tell you was wrong. Okay?
Right.
So you have to take everything back to nature. And I'm saying this for your listeners because they have recently done a study. And they did the genes and chromosomes, and they did what's called a chromatid. And they say that it is on the X chromosome of the mother that they found the homosexual gene. Now, I'm saying this to your listeners. They are lying on science. You hear me? I'm a doctor. I went to medical school for 10 years, all right?
Yes, sir.
So they are liars. They have gone into science. They try to go into biology, into the genes and chromosomes. And since the majority of us haven't gone to school and paid any real attention, we trust them that they're telling the truth. They have lied on nature the same way they lied on blacks. When 50 and 100 years ago, they used the sociology and the chemistry, I'm giving you these facts, called the genes and chromosomes, right? And used that to justify, our inferiority. If you had such and such amount of melanin, meaning that you were dark, right, then that high level of melanin proved that you was inferior. So what did they do? They took in nature and they misinterpreted intentionally to justify us being the second-class citizen. So they're doing the same thing with homosexuality. They try to go into the genes and the chromosomes, and they find it is actual gene in the chromosome, but they lie on the gene in the chromosome the same way they lied, use melanin to hold us down. The same mentality, the same mindset. But thank God you have religious people, Christians, Jews, and Muslims. They're finally standing up across the world now. There are two governments, and this is the funniest thing I have to say, man. Please let me say this. I forget the nations are. Two black nations. And those two leaders said, we have laws in our countries against homosexuality. Now, here's a country that you used to laugh at, saying these are people running through the jungle with bows and arrows and G-string. But they got more strength and humanity than you with all your technology. You know, and that's the problem. In America, we are the technological giant. But in human edifice, we are the pygmy. We have lost. Mm. We are confused. We're clumsy when it comes to being a human being. But when it comes to being artificial, just like you got artificial intelligence, you got artificial humanity. And this is the problem. Yes, you're trying to put next to next artificial humanity with original humanity. And it's never going to work. Mm. You can put human nature to sleep, but you cannot kill human nature. And human nature eventually is going to wake up, and that's what you're hearing now on this program and throughout the country in different parts of the world. Human nature is waking up and realized that it has been hoodwinked, and it's not accepting inferiority any further. And it's demanding that you even respect the homosexual and tell him the truth of his identity. Most of them have never. Look, if you go to a shoe store and you only have one pair of shoes, you did not make a choice. Choice involves more than one, you see? So most people in that community have not been introduced to themselves, the excellence of their creation. So naturally, if you don't know the value of something, you're not gonna protect it. You get a little 3-year-old child, and he have a $100 bill in his hand. His 3-year-old child, and coming there with a big lollipop bigger than his face, he'll give you the $100 bill for a 50-cent lollipop. Why? Because he doesn't know value. And this is what has happened to the people in that community. Somebody has lied to them on their value and made them exchange their value for something that has devalued them. This is the problem. Artificial humanism. The problem is what? Artificial humanism, where the person becomes a nature hater. The person hates their own nature. They hate it.
Yes, sir.
They go around, cut my titties off. Cut my penis off. Cut my testicles off. Why would you do that? Because you don't know the value of it. Somebody lied to you about the dignity of your own self.
It's terrible, man,
what has happened to those people. They're human beings. I agree with you, Mikhail. They're human beings, but they've been deceived. In fact, the black man was deceived for all these hundreds of years, lied against his identity, his reality. I told some of the sisters, you know, one of the reasons why a lot of women become lesbians is because the lie that they were told, that the first woman was the one that caused the downfall of man, the first human being. And I told them, this is psychological damage that you have done to a woman and women, that you tell them that the downfall of humanity was by way of a woman. So isn't that easier for a woman want to run away from that? Who wants to be identified with something that worked against humanity from the beginning. You see?
Yes, sir.
So there are many factors playing into this thing, you know.
Yes,
and thank
yes.
you for this program. It takes a lot of courage to address this issue. You know what I mean?
Well,
preserving.
Well,
you know, and I want to say this. You know, most of us, we're like a surgeon. You know, when the surgeon has a patient who has cancer, the surgeon wants to remove the cancer and keep the patient. So this is our strategy. We don't want to attack homosexual people. No. We're going after cancerous thinking that's oppressing those individuals. They're being oppressed, and they have to be liberated.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know,
the thoughts have to be liberated.
Yes, sir. We mentioned before about the nature. And you can call us. You know, we're going to take we got a whole lot of callers lined up, so we got to get to our callers.
Yes, sir. You're right here.
The nature, the original nature, Muslims, parents, they have to know at an early age that boys do not have menstrual cycles and girls don't grow mustaches and beards because of nature.
Right.
Keep bringing back
right.
to nature. Bringing back to 30
yeah.
of the Quran. Bring them back. And once that child get a grasp of what Allah
yes.
has said in Surah 30, Ayah 30, about the original nature that he made men on that same pattern, then that child, whatever they run into in life, even if they get a little experimental with alcohol, whatever, Surah 30, Ayah 30 will come back to them and say, I'm suffering from doing this because I violated Surah 30, Ayah 30.
Right.
I wouldn't get
absolutely.
The point again, tell them, there's a reason why boys don't have menstrual cycles. You know, so now, I'm in the wrong body. You're in the wrong body. But you want to be a girl, but you're not going to have menstrual cycles because you're not a girl. Teaching the
right.
nature. Okay, we got a whole lot of callers. They've been patient. Call us from 404.
Thank you for that point.
Yes, you listen
good
to
help.
Words make
it's
people.
Good help. It's good help.
Make, yes, sir. Well, we need help. And Allah has sent us the guidance.
Yes, sir.
You listen to Michael Sahir, your host, my own words made people. Special guest, Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed from Miami, Florida. He's going to get some callers in. Oh, they have lined up. And we're going to take questions and comments. Please be respectful. Please be intelligent. We're not trying to attack anybody. At the same time, we want to be honest and open. So coming on up the line, you know, by your name, my twist ain't going down the line. We've been down too long, right? So we're going up the line.
Yes.
To call us 404-798. Can you give us your first name and your city, please, and your question or comment?
This is Hassan. I'm currently in Atlanta, Georgia. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam. A few things. First, I got a comment, and I want to make sure, because I know there's a lot of people that are waiting. One of the questions that you asked, and again, I say this, is the former equity and inclusion, you know, coordinator for a school district. I think one of the things that it's always important for parents in particular when they have questions about some of the things that students are learning, they should always feel comfortable having conversations with the teachers about, you know, what's the learning standard or, you know, what is it that, the various, those, the Indiana Department of Education is saying that a student, you know, have to learn as it relates to the curriculum. And that gets back to the teacher's choice of, you know, how they selected using, you know, some material. So, again, my advice is to, you know, make sure, you know, to educate parents and make sure that they know that they can have conversations with, you know, teachers and schools to find out how is this connected to some part of the curriculum that's helping to prepare the student, for the next grade levels. The second thing, okay. and I want to say this, and this is important. I see, I'm certainly a person that's, you know, born, you know, after, you know, born after 1960, so born in, you know, in the 70s. And so, you know, I recognize that there's a history and there's knowledge that, you know, comes with our understanding of, you know, the issues related to, you know, lesbian, gay, you know, bisexual, transgender, you know, and so forth. And one of the things that, you know, again, I'm aware of is how, one, our disposition, and I explain our disposition saying as believers, as Muslims, for those that, you know, profess that, you know, Muhammad the Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is Allah's, God's last, you know, slave servant. Our disposition is always knowing that the highest form and expression that we can achieve in this earth is to be a servant of Allah, bottom line. So our servant, as servants to Allah, we recognize, so what are we serving? If we're serving Allah, it is a recognition that, you know, we have an obligation to support community life. And community life is the bedrock and foundation, you know, again, of Muslim communities. The reality of certainly the Western world, 20th century America, is strong, what we call this individualism. And this individualism has subsequently fostered, you know, thoughts and ideas about,
yes,
you know, what's my freedom, what I can do for myself, or what's a personal sense of expression for me. And I'm saying that within the context of this discussion to say that it's important as believers that, you know, we have to always take a step back and look at the way that conversations around, you know, LGBTQ issues are framed, you know, for us, because there's just simply, you know, this culture and this time period where everybody wants to be, you know, the have-nots. Everybody wants to be, you know, the persecuted.
Yes,
everybody wants to be the group that this. And how people use history and how people use,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we got a lot of people waiting. Can you kind of do a summation so we can get a response, please?
Yes. Yes, sir. So I guess I'm going to say this. And again, this is what's important more than anything in conversations, you know, with young people, is to make sure, you know, you're making a distinction, you know, for them between, you know, what it is to be, especially, you know, for us that are trying to raise children as Muslims. What is our obligation from an understanding of society to support community life? And
yes, sir.
And what does that mean? You know, what do those things mean when it comes to, you know, individual senses of expression? And we have to be aware, you know. I just want to say this real briefly. Remember,
yes,
you know, again, Allah has given Adam the power to name. That's what human beings are not doing nothing but arguing about, names, you know. Allah's endowed us with he given the prophet Adam and subsequently his descendants, this, you know, we going back and forth with naming. So, alhamdulillah, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. And I like the point that the brother was making of community versus individuality in the society today. You know, Nelson, you have any responses to Brother Hassan's words?
Yes. Yes, I'd like to us all to be reminded, you know, we have a conscious mind and a subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the subconscious mind which is the avenue or the passage to our nature. If it is left unprotected, weak knowledge then can be fed into it, and thus that mind can be changed and work against the nature. you know. And the old world societies gave us protection that reached the five senses and the heart only like an animal. But it did not correct the nature so that our subconscious would come into the right order. This is the problem we're having now. So our nature today is still giving bad things or what? Bad influences. And the subconscious, mm-hmm. which is the avenue or the passage to our nature, is left open. You know, it's just like your house. You have your house, you have a gate, and you get inside the gate, and then you get up to the door. The door is what gets you in the house. Well, that's like your nature, right? But mm-hmm. before you get mm-hmm. to the door, you got the gate. That's like your conscious mind. Now, once that conscious mind or the gate is left wide open, anybody can walk in there, you see? And once that happens, now you can put anything you want in that house. That house being your nature, you see?
Yes,
things that don't belong in that house are in that house. That was not there original, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it is corrupt. Yeah.
No, no, just a fast point. It's just a fast point. You're saying that many of us, that we have squatters sitting in our nature. You know,
right. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir. And the corrupt media has been abusing the formulation of our spirituality and the personality of the masses. Listen.
Yes.
Why do you have commercials? Because you know commercials influence people, right? People
mm-hmm.
spend millions of dollars to purchase commercial time. Why? Because they know they can influence people to buy this car or buy this refrigerator. Mm-hmm. So I'm making that point to let everybody know they use this media in the same way to form
mm-hmm.
personalities and form thoughts. So the spirituality
yes,
and the personality collectively is being consciously deformed by the culture, the media,
mm-hmm.
and the entertainment. And so thank God. You know, I hear some people say, oh, you got to be careful. They are very powerful. They're in high positions in the government. This, that, and other. They're telling me this. And I say, listen, did Moses worry about the power that Pharaoh had?
Mm.
Okay?
That's right.
Did Muhammad have to worry about the power of the Quraysh? I'm talking to Muslims. Okay, so
mm-hmm.
it's not a matter of what powerful position they may be in the society. You still have to speak the truth, you know? And as for Muslims, it says truth comes and knocks out falsehood's brains. And that's what's
that's
happening
right.
with this program and another program. When you speak the truth, there's no defense for falsehood. There's no lawyer
yes,
that can defend falsehood. Can't do it, you know.
I mean, you're
yeah.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
And just a comment I'm going to share, and our next caller is 910-527. Hold on, please. You mentioned about commercialism. Just a point, just a little side point, I think is very relevant. When you live in an open capitalistic society, the capital is money, right? And so commercialism, that's also the flowing of money. And any and everything is for sale. They'll sell your soul. They'll sell your religion. They'll sell your ideas. So teach that also to our children at a young age, that everything is for sale, and Satan is the one most times making the bargain.
That's right.
Call it 910-527. You've been patient. Thanks for calling Words Based People. Can you give us your first name, your city, your question and comment?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imams. This is Brother Muslim from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Okay, I'm sorry, that I missed the name.
Brother Muslim.
What's your name again?
Brother
Mustafa yeah.
or Mustafa from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm so full that I guess, you know, my cup is running over from what I have heard on this program. And we thank Allah for the moral courage, in taking this responsibility to bring forth such a program, at least a discussion to put our language in the public domain. You know, the
yes,
language
sir.
Of the Quran has to be in the public domain. It cannot
yes,
be just, you know, in the four walls on Friday or at Tallinn.
Right.
It has to
yes.
be in the public domain. And
yes,
once it's in the public domain, it can at least give an option or counter some of the information through the powerful media and those who have resources to put their language in the public domain. So we thank
right.
Allah for you, my beloved brother, Mikhail, for striving to put this language, the language of the Quran, in the public domain. And I just want to briefly express, if I may, the part about the children. It actually starts,
yes.
you know, it starts in the home. And the best way it starts in the home when there's a two-parent family, that there's accountability and there is responsibility. It is the parents' effort to educate their children if they own the correct nature, as you mentioned, the original nature. If the parents are on the original nature, then they can disseminate the language to their children. And, you know, the big thing in the news now is artificial intelligence. And Dr. Nasser touched on this. Artificial intelligence produce artificial brains, and artificial brains produce artificial humanity or humanism. So we have to be, you know, very, very skillful and very keenly perceptive in how we use our language. You know, we thank Allah for Imam Muhammad. May Allah grant him the highest station in the paradise and forgive him of his sins. He was skillful in taking the language of the Quran and putting it in the, I would say, I'm just using this term, the common language of the people. We, too,
right.
have to become very skillful,
yeah.
keenly
yeah.
aware of how to take this language and put it in
yeah.
common language to speak to the minds, the hearts, and the souls of the people. And that's one reason I do love Dr. Nasser. I love your analogies of how you
yeah.
phrase things. You simplify things that are very, I would say, they're kind of complicated, but you put them in that simple language that a
right.
common person, even a child, can identify with. Just like you said about the shoe. If you got one shoe, you didn't have a choice. You didn't have a choice if you just have one shoe. You have to have something else to choose from in order to make a choice, at least a conscious choice. And I'm going to conclude on this. You know, in Leviticus 20:13, in Leviticus, has already been stated, the people know, the learned people, they know their scripture.
Yeah.
But yet
mm-hmm.
there is a fear or some type of fear of, or the young gentleman used that term, that phobia.
Right.
Of
mm-hmm.
them addressing their congregants like they should. And I just want to
yes,
read
sir.
Very quickly Leviticus 20:13. If a
man
also lie, say again.
Mm-hmm. No.
If
ahead,
a man
sorry.
Also lie with mankind,
right,
if he lies
right.
with a woman,
right.
both of them have committed an abomination. They
that's
shall
right.
surely be put to death. Their blood shall
that's
be
right.
upon them. Now that's in their
yeah.
scripture. So I'm not even going to comment
that's right.
on that. That's in their scripture. In the
yeah.
Quran,
mm-hmm.
in Surah Al-Lail, the night, Allah plainly says, he speaks about the male and the female, Zakar
right.
and Untha. It's already
yeah.
there. It's plain. So we don't
yes,
have to,
sir.
You know, do no guesswork. We don't have to do no scientific investigation. They say, what kind of book is this? It leaves nothing out. So Allah has already addressed it. And
yes,
those
sir.
First four verses of ayats, talk about night and day, different. Night serves a function, day serves a function. Man serves a function, woman serves a function. Imam Nasser
yes,
already said, you talked about the biological before the psychological. I just love it. I'm going to have to leave it right there, man. I'm so
proud.
All
right,
I'm
going to
leave
it right
there. Thank you very much.
Imam Nasser, before you respond, Yeah, thank you. And I said before you respond, because the brother, he was,
yes, sir,
was right on time. And I don't see what I'm doing as anything courageous. You know, people say that somebody else indicated courageous to address this topic. I don't see it that way. I said it earlier, you know, when we became Muslim, we changed names, food, and everything. We quit doing this, and
that's
right. people thought we lost our mind because we had the courage to go against the grain. The grain was going this way, we went that way, and we still had that same spirit.
Right.
So I want to add to that, because I see I've been down to different meetings at the State House and used language that would defend the human rights. I got to say human rights.
Right.
And it was directed toward the protection for LGBTQ. But in my speaking, in the public, at the State House with other Jews, rabbis, and ministers, I never said their rights as LGBTQ, but I was very adamant. And I do it again tomorrow. If you're going against them for their human rights, for jobs,
right,
safety, whatever, I will defend. I don't care, LGBTQ, I will defend them as a human being. And then he said, well, how
right,
can you do that? How can you say that you're not for LGBTQ lifestyle, but you defend them for their rights? Because they are human beings, they're God's creation, and you should not lay a finger on them. If they qualify to be promoted on the job, promote them. If they qualify for the housing, give them the housing. We ain't talking about that, so don't confuse the two. I want to make that very, very
right,
clear. I hope we're not going after that. We're just saying that we don't agree with the lifestyle, and we teach our children
right,
something different. Don't confuse the two. Don't say we are siding with the racists, because we're not. But we're siding with what the Quran says. We're Muslims.
Yeah.
We're not part-time Muslims. We're full-time Muslims. So it's not courageous.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just being Muslim. Okay. Should I go to my next caller, or you had any responses to Brother Mustafa, because he was good.
yeah. I was taking notes as he was talking.
Yes,
he was
sir,
great. Mustafa, thank you so very much. Wonderful, wonderful comments. You know, what we're dealing with, you know, this really is a sexual problem, you know. And the soul has been fed sexual excitement. And as a result of that, it lost its original social context. You know,
mm-hmm,
it's like the sun has a context with the earth. The sun is there, but it depends on the context. If it's too close, it'll burn the earth up. If it's too far away, the earth will freeze to death. So it has to have the right social context. And so this is the problem that we're dealing with now. The soul has been given, or has been fed, you know, this social hype or excitement to the extent that sexuality has lost its original context. And the general spirit is to degenerate the sexual desire, corrupt it, and bring it down lower than any animal's existence. This is the problem. And what we have now, like what we're discussing, is the role of the culture that has managers to restore man to his originality, you know? And like you say, in all cultures, religiously, you know, and leadership over life has been designed to save us once we lose our culture and put us back on our feet again. You know, man falls down like any child. You walk, you trip. So man has tripped on this issue. We're just trying to help him get back up.
Yes, sir.
It's no disrespect.
Our next caller. We got callers lined up, brother. We got to get to them.
I told
the program for 1 to 3, but I added in another hour because I knew we were going to go over. Hey, but you know what? Ibn Muhammad, and you love Ibn Muhammad because he has taken a concept that's been given to us that he had twisted. I shouldn't say twisted. He untwisted it.
That's right.
And he led.
That's right.
And like he said, you know what? He said, Marvin Gaye was right. We need a sexual healing. Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
All right, let's call her up. 340-540-513. Thanks for your patience. Caller, what can
people
give us your first name? First name and city, please, in your question and comment. 340, you're on.
Yaya Sharif, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yeah, Sharif. Where are you from?
Hey, I'm from the Virgin Islands, St. Thomas, Virgin Islands.
Yes, sir.
And I'm listening to the program. I'm enjoying it immensely. Thankful. When I saw it on my Facebook page earlier in the week, I shared it, hoping that it would get a lot of reviews or listeners. And I'm listening,
yes, sir,
and I'm really enjoying particularly the monologue of the Brother Imam this morning, Brother Ahmed. Great monologue. And the analogies were excellent, as the brother had stated before me. But I want to ask you a question, and perhaps along with a small statement. And my question is, how do you account for hermaphrodites? Those are the people who are born with the two organs, both male and female. One second.
Excellent question.
Thank you, sir. And how do you account for babies coming from the womb with
yes.
a very inclination toward the opposite sex? He's born a male,
right.
but he has a female tendency.
Yes. Uh-huh,
drawn to
uh-huh.
align with female. So I'm saying this for a particular reason, because
I got
we are inundated on this planet in America
right.
and elsewhere with this. Don't want to call it deviation, but it would be a deviation according to what
yes.
The scripture, Quran. Quran says, speak fake words. And it says, hurl truth at falsehood. So we're not
right.
going to frame. So we hurt
Correct.
Some people. We're going to step on
yes.
some toes, but it's not an attack, as the Brother Imam said.
Yes,
I agree with
that. That's right.
Not deliberate anyway, but we have to straighten up this place or we're all going to perish. Under the command. So I'm saying this as a, and I'm listening at you, Imams. I always listen, and I'm a member of the Nation of Islam under Minister Farrakhan, and I'm
yes.
saying that I appreciate this this forum that you're presenting. But one of the things that Brother Dr. Wesley Muhammad stated, as regards to even the marijuana, they're feminizing that our children.
Correct. That's correct.
And we are not aware. In the waters, Mr. Farrakhan stated, the waters are being used to contaminate and bring about the homosexuality. There are a number of things happening to us that we are totally unaware of. The very foods that
yes.
we eat, our inability
yes.
to recognize that this man is on steroids and his last, this is like the final finale in the 4th of July fireworks. You get the random fireworks throughout the 40 minutes, whatever it is, and in the last 5 minutes, they blow it all up. And so
That's
right
correct.
Now, let's look at the government, the mentality of the political, the politics of America. We see that this man is going all out. That's when Brother Ahmed said in the monologue about a Jewish man cannot come to a public school system teaching Judaism, nor Christianity, nor Muslim Islam. Excellent. That is the excellent counter for what they're trying to do to our people by,
yes.
you know, in homosexuality and directly filling our kindergartens and preschoolers and elementary schools, programming them for the life of homosexuality. It's the deviation. We need to understand what that's critical that we have our own schools and so forth. So I'm not
yes, sir. Well, let us respond.
But you
yes,
look
sir.
At those questions. Give me some input.
Okay. Now, you know, Muhammad the Prophet, he said every human being is born on a pattern of nature. And he said if you look at animals, animals are born without any defects. This is Muhammad the Prophet saying this 1,400 years ago. So now, when you follow what he says, some people nowadays, they will say he was wrong because some animals are born two-headed, some animals have three legs, you know, so on and so forth, right? But we
mm-hmm.
have found out that Prophet Muhammad is correct. And just as you said, brother, the reason why we have these defects is because what these people have done in the chemistry, in the environment.
Yes, sir.
They have put products in the environment that has leached into the water table, and et cetera. And it goes when the genes and chromosomes are reforming themselves,
that's where you get the mislink, the misalignment. So there's no hermaphrodite that God created. Allah did not create that. That's human being in his chemistry that intentionally has created that problem. Men have created that problem. Not
exactly.
And for you, some listeners don't know this, so I'll give them something they can go online with. Just check this, me to see if I'm right or wrong. There was a drug back in the 50s and 60s called thalidomide. And thalidomide was a drug to be used to prevent pregnancy. But what happened, it caused the children to be deformed. They would have short arms, short legs, or maybe no arms, no legs.
No.
It was directly linked to the drug thalidomide. I'm using that as an example because it's the same methodology that produces the hermaphrodite. You have introduced some drug into the culture that the human being has ingested, has eaten, and it has caused the deformation of the fertilization of the sperm and the egg, you know, causing the zygote.
Yes,
that's where these defects come from. If you leave man out of the picture, you'll never have an hermaphrodite. In other words, you'll never have a baby born with a penis and a vagina. You won't have that. But because of the abuse of chemistry to make money, that's where we get all of these defects and handicaps. Yes, sir.
That's exactly where I want you to take it, because that's exactly what happened. When you brought up the formaldehyde, I remember this. I'm a 1944 baby. And I remember coming from
you're a young man.
Child, I'm a young soldier. Coming up as a child. I saw people with nubs for arms and nubs for
legs.
Girls, beautifully formed heads, but the arms, the limbs were deformed.
Right.
We remember
Tuskegee
and what they did in Tuskegee with the 300
blacks
and infecting them with syphilis when there was, in fact, penicillin on the market. And they refused to fix them for 40 years. Until it was revealed that Bill Clinton lied about them being sorry for what they... Listen, they're never sorry for what they have done. This is why we have to, when we read Quran, he said God is going to place in the earth, you understand, one that's going to cause mischief and shedding of blood.
Yes.
And here we are.
Yes.
He is non-stop in his mischief-making and his blood-shedding. What you stated about the chemical labs, they're in their labs every day doing this. Thank you for the program.
Yes,
yes sir. Thank you, brother Yaya.
Look,
I need to say this.
Look, we thank Allah and we pray Allah bless Minister Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam to keep evolving.
Allahu Akbar.
We have sincere men and women. That's where I came from. I come, you know, and I stand on that foundation of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have the Quran. And I tell anybody, this is the truth.
Yes, sir.
This is the truth. Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Okay.
So you have our prayers. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to keep it moving.
It's okay.
So people be very patient.
Yes, sir.
But I do want to add, because I got this from my sister, Amatilla. And she gave me a word. I must say it and spell it, because it tied in with what Brother Yahya Sharifa just said. It's called endocrine disruptors. Look that up. That's spelled ENDOCRINE. Endocrine disruptors, and you'd be surprised, but how chemicals in food and water, even toys children play with, they will tell you that there are chemicals in there that can alter and can cause some deviation sexually. Keeping on moving up the line, caller 678, thanks for your patience. You're listening to Words Made People. You're on. Give us your first name and your city and comment. 678-362.
Brother Jihad, Assalamu alaikum.
Good.
You know, they...
Where you from?
I can hear you. I think we have to identify also... Oh, Atlanta, I'm sorry. Atlanta, Georgia, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. No problem.
I think we have to understand where the people have advanced in this argument. The and when we're explaining it to our children, advanced now beyond the look. We allow them to introduce into the society the idea of self-identification. So when that community allow, or when we allow them to establish that language allows them to go beyond the look. They don't care about the look anymore. What they're saying now today is that if I, in my mind, say that I'm gay, in my mind say that I'm a man and a woman, I don't have to look the part of a man or woman, but I don't have to do, I don't have to actually visibly identify like that. And when they switch the language to self-identify, put the power in self-identify, they're saying that they disregard the intellect and they're only operating off of the feeling. And we know that it's hard to argue with people based just on feeling. So they've established or they move beyond what I'm trying to say is that the enemy has, in this particular language, or in this particular situation, has far advanced some of the arguments that we're putting forth. Because when you're dealing with feeling, you know, you've argued with people who say, oh, this is just how I feel. I don't care what you say. I don't care what information you put up. This is how I feel. This is where this particular argument is. And somehow we have to figure out how to address our children. And also, let me say this, and I'll end, I know you had a lot of calls.
Yes, sir.
I heard over and over again that they are aggressive.
Yes, they are.
We have to be equally aggressive. And I'm going to be honest with you, in my personal feeling, we don't have to set the scenario to apologize for this position. They are not apologizing for going after our children. It's in
That's
the
true.
Schools. It's in the elementary schools. It's all over. It's in the books. It's in the movies. It's in the conversation. Mm-hmm. They are not apologizing at all. So we have to take the position also that we're not going to apologize for this man. We're
going to be respectful.
Sir. But by no means am I going to precede my argument with you every time about I'm not trying to offend you. I am trying to offend you. I'm trying to do it respectfully.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, brother.
All right, brother.
Brother, you're doing a great job. And brother, ma'am,
Alhamdulillah.
If I see your face, I think you would recognize me. And I appreciate you very much. And
yeah.
I love my
Yes, sir. Thank Allah
brother.
For you.
Thank you.
We hear some wonderful comments. Wonderful comments. Yes, sir.
He got the right name.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you, brother Jahad.
You know, everybody has a brain.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Everybody has a brain, but do they have a mind?
Mm.
You see? The animal has a brain, but does he have a mind? And then if you have a mind, are you in control of your mind? You see? So I'm thankful for these things. And I want to say this to him. You know, the history of man says he has to be born in the emotional nature. Okay? But it is his intelligence has to rise and crown the emotional nature. And rule that emotional nature. And so the strategy is to keep the man enchained within his emotional state. Keep him on that level. That's why we have the term sentimental. Senti means feeling, and mental, meaning that his feelings is blocking him from full maturation or full rational development. He's a sentimental creature. No. So thank you, brother. You're so absolutely right.
And brother, I think the two countries that you were referencing was Uganda and Liberia.
Right.
Uganda
there you
and
go.
Liberia. You know what I mean?
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, brother.
Yeah, thank you. Allah bless you.
Okay. We're going to go to our next caller here. Lake Masalam. We're going to go to our next caller here. If we're on right now. kind of lost track. Where was I at? Just hold on for a second. I don't want to miss anybody. I'm trying to take them in order. Okay. Well, I think you must have hung up. Okay, the next caller on my list is 9-3-4. I've been there. 267. Yes, there they are. Caller 267. 358. Can you give us your first name, your city, your question, your comments for Word Faith People?
Yes.
Okay.
Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam. Can you give us your first name and your city, please?
My name is Imam Adib. I'm out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yes, sir, but your name. Adib? Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Go ahead and speak to us. Talk to us.
Yes. So I've heard a lot of things and I'm appreciative. So I would like to say, if I'm out of place for being real and must pretend for you and your kind, then make me a costume that resembles me so I can pretend to be myself. Most people don't fall out of their natural character, and their natural character is in 30-30. It's the fitra,
right,
the natural patterns of all human beings. But if we look at Surah 95:4, we'll see that Lakat Kalaknel Insanafi Aksani Takween, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being in the best of organizational symmetry.
Yes, sir.
But if we fall, if we go walat dalin, if we fall off the path, then it's 95:5, that thuma wadat nahu esfala safilin. We go into the,
yes,
what is called fasha, the lowest of the low that a human being can go. But what we need to do is to put the neighbor back in the hood.
That's right.
Once we do that, to understand the group doesn't survive, the individual is gone.
Mm.
It's out of here. And
that's
we
true.
Have to understand that words make people. The first thing
that's
that
right.
we was aligned with in 1975 when I was on post at 48th and Market, there was this man that we all know gave us subliminal subduction, and it's apropos now. Subliminal subduction is a thought issued in your subconscious mind while you're not even consciously aware of it. Back in my day, I still remember two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on the sesame seed bun.
That's
it's
right.
still in there. To do is to raise ourselves up from the fight or flight syndrome. When Imam talked about emotions, any time that you have your emotions over your thinking, you're going to have dysfunctional behavior. So we have to share with our children that they can't be other than themselves. We share with our children that you have to use the good sense that God gave you. You can have a PhD and triple PhDs, but if you don't have the good sense God gave you, you can be easily fluent to go against self.
Yes, sir.
So
That's a good point.
It's important that we let our children know, because I know when I put myself, I was in the school acting a fool, and my grandmother called, and you know the teachers in those days gave you could get on the phone, and she said, you acting up? I said, ma'am, you said, no, you acting up? Do I have to come there to embarrass you in front of all your friends? I said, no, ma'am. So we have to maintain that connection, that fits with that we can't go against self.
Yes,
we
sir.
we have to, and I'm ending on this, that we have to realize that the enemy is the enemy. We're the one.
Yes, sir.
We have to begin to do key on. We have to begin to stand up. If we don't stand for something.
Hey, Brother Man,
yes, sir.
You know, I like to, you know, I've been saying the same thing about the enemy, spelled E-N-E-M-Y. It's also but also what I hear in that, and I like yours also, is A-N-Y-M-E, being just any me instead of being the best of me. And so what you're suggesting, if I'm hearing you correctly, we got to teach our children, you know, they should say best on the picture, teach our children to be the best. Be what Allah made them to be, because otherwise it's all over with. I mean, there's no fight, because our children, our children are in battle and don't know it.
Staying on the battlefield of life.
That's right. Can I now say anything you want to add to our brother's comments?
Yes, I want to say, my brother, thank you so very much. I can hear the wisdom of the prophet, Imam W.D. Muhammad, all in your comment, you know.
Yes,
and
sir.
Your
yes,
common
sir.
Sense. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The community is in great shape where you are. All they got to do is listen to you. You got it going on. My paper and pencil out. Hey, man, I'm taking notes from all these guys. These are some sharp men.
Yes,
wow, we are blessed.
You know what?
Yeah,
we haven't heard.
I have to.
How come we haven't heard from some?
I got to be there.
Yeah, Michael Jackson. Yeah, got to be there. Okay, all right, Brother Imam, thank you. And
excuse me.
You know, you're down to me. We haven't heard from any of our sisters, our mothers. So we're going to go to our next caller. Give me a pause to take a little water. All right. Next caller. Let's see who is next on the list. My computer went to sleep on me. Hold on, I'll break my computer up. Okay, next caller. I should have had my... You know what? I'm going to go down and pick up my sister, Emma Tuller. I can tell it's her by all these ones. This sister here got a lot of wisdom. I'm going to bring her on first. Sister Matilda, do I have you on now?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. This is Sister Matilda from Milwaukee. And she's the one who introduced to me that word, can you get it right? Endocrine disruptors. But I don't know whatever she wanted to say. But she was also, Imam Nasser, back in the day, you may remember this, when the man had the female ministers back in the 75, I guess it was.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Oh, yes, I do.
Well, she was the first one for our community.
I know who I'm listening to.
Uh-oh. So
Allah bless you. Allahu Akbar.
Yes,
well, yes,
okay.
As a mother,
glad that you're making comments. Thank you.
Yes, mother and a teacher and a therapist.
That's right.
Yes, I want to try to answer the question and stick to the subject.
and that's
to say that what we need to teach our children, it will be one of the most difficult things, I think, to teach. And that is about sex. Teaching them and somehow establishing that this is the way that the Creator has designed for the perpetuation of human beings. So therefore, it is something that is special, it's sacred. It's always to be respected. So the foundation, when we're talking about homosexuality or whatever, it's still within that same context of sex. And we noticed that the world took away the discussion of sex from the religious community. And I'm talking about even 50, 60 years ago, and made it as if we couldn't talk about it. And then they took it away and just corrupted it and made it be a sport, or made it be just something that's just to be toyed with. So I believe that if we, from the rostrum and the home and everything, try to find ways to introduce this as something, and we don't have to get into all the details about it, but just because the world has already put it out there, there's nothing we can do now except to come aboard and just try to teach in our children, teach to our children in our schools that this is something that's special to be respected. And
okay.
But what about our children? You said
within our school, what about our children whose parents can't afford a Muslim school and they in the public schools?
No, actually, it has to be established before the child even gets to the school.
Mm-hmm.
We're human beings, and Allah has given us this special way that we carry on the generations. And I haven't thought it through. That's why I said it's going to be a very difficult thing. But when I was just thinking about this whole subject, I thought that this may be a clue, because it would also help our children, the heterosexual children and all of us, to be able to approach the subject. If we have a general respect for sexual activity, then and a knowledge of it and an acceptance of it as being primarily, for the perpetuation of species, wouldn't that help us to even have a respect, so that it's not just people just getting together just mm-hmm. for activities? And the other thing is, as a child, okay, if you can teach whatever you want to in your household, but if the child's cousin or little child down the block or somebody at school or even an adult, whatever, at the daycare or whatever, introduces the child's body to sexual activity before it was going to develop normally or naturally through the development of hormones, then you're going to have some serious problems with that child and the child carrying out behavior, either heterosexual or homosexual behavior, before they would normally have done that.
Mm.
And it also has a lot of psychological and behavioral issues that, again, it's too much to go into in this one forum.
Just on that point there, because you and I did speak last night, that you have some professional training. I'm not sure to what level, but you have worked in that field before, working with youth who have suffered sexual abuse, who were confused in life, correct? That you do have some
right.
Yes, I'm saying it just so the listeners will know that you're not just speaking from your own thoughts. You actually worked in that field quite some time ago, as a matter of fact. But you've been able to follow the development. I just wanted just to bring that out for our listeners.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Yes, when Imam was establishing Al-Islam for us, I was at the same time establishing my professional career, beginning with the psychiatric hospital there and the psychiatric unit of the hospital there in Chicago. So that was such a blessing, because I was able to establish my professional thinking and, you know, and get the what they were teaching me, but yet and still be able to get what Imam was establishing for us. And also at the time, we weren't able to mention anything about religion. So I got to the point where I was able to give truth and give, you know, good senses without mentioning religion. And so, you know, yeah, over time I just got to the point where I just started giving the message. And Imam even, and I know Imam Nasser can agree to this, but he even encouraged us to take what he said and put it into our particular careers and, you know, professions, and just speak the truth, you know, without, quote, religion.
Yes, ma'am.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what he told us to do. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Sister Amatilla,
yes,
now, if you can, I know it's kind of hard to do it in a nutshell, but this word, endocrine disruptors, what is that and how is that in some science explanations, they tie that in with the tendency to alter someone sexually.
Okay, and Imam did touch upon it, and the other caller touched upon it, that Allah has established his way in creation, but Satan has let all of us know that he's going to take the fair nature of creation.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take whatever's established. He's going to manipulate it and contaminate it and toxify or whatever. And so in development of different products, mainly to make more money and to show a superiority, this is from a spiritual point, show superiority to God's little plain man and women. He comes up with all of these things, well, this is better for you. This will do this, and this will smell better and whatnot. So these chemicals have contaminated everything now, every aspect of life. So all the way from the fragrances, you know, you want to make your house smell good or whatever, to plastics. Oh, plastics, that's one of the main ones. And and medications, a lot of the medications, synthetic medications. And what they do, they actually change the levels of hormones that make people be more feminine or more masculine. So the main ones are they're affecting the males more than they're affecting the females, making the males more effeminate, just in the characteristics that are commonly were attributed to females. And then, but the plastics also have been shown to cause early development of the females. Girls at 7, 8 years old develop the menses and develop sexual feelings that they are not equipped to deal with intellectually and emotionally. And so this is what the hormone disruptors do. They take the fair nature of the estrogens, the testosterone, lower testosterone levels a lot, even in the males that are teenagers and all the way up to adults. So if you would do studies, you'll see that the testosterone levels are lowering in males in general just over the past few decades. So
No, that's good, because the word is, again, endocrine, E-N-D-O-C-R-I-N-E, disruptors. They disrupt, as she just said, the hormones in males and females, but mainly the males. and it changes or disturbs the male progress and sometimes has altered it to become feminine, these disruptors. So, okay, thank you, Sam. So, if you don't mind, I'm going to leave your mic open in case you want to comment because you have some experience. We're going to go ahead and get out of the callers here. Oh, Lady Mary, we got some very patient callers. We got about 20 minutes left.
Go right ahead. I'm listening. I'm enjoying myself. I got sent back to 1975. Just that quick.
All right. Okay. We're going to Indianapolis. Oh, somebody got some background noise there, but 317-400. That's Indianapolis. That's my brother there. Yeah. 317-400. Give your name and your city, please.
Assalamu alaikum.
Let my smile.
My name is Murray Daniel from Indianapolis.
Yes, sir.
I just have a comment about the children and the parents. The parents should be more aware of what the little kids and children watch on television. That some of the shows are so corruptive as far as sexuality and homosexual, it can disrupt the thinking of the child. And they grow, you know, it might come to mind where they might want to try something. You know, that's not of the human nature.
Yes, sir. Exactly. And then also, you have a comment on Brother Daniel's observations?
No. He's got that right.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, because what you see on TV is going to influence you, or it may give you a thought or an idea that was nowhere in your mind, nowhere on your radar. But they show it on TV, and if it's on TV, maybe it's okay. But no, teach our children the dangers of TV. Teach them the benefits of TV. But teach them the dangers of TV. All right, Brother Daniel, we thank you very much. We're going to go.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling the Word. Thank people. And I also know this show is being recorded. It will be archived. It should be valuable for listening. Soon as we get done, within 15 minutes of going off, whenever we do go off, she has the link. You can play it back and share it with your friends. If you don't have the link, you can still put in certain keywords. Put in words, make people. Put in, you know, Nasser Ahmed's name or my name. And then you should be able to find this show on the internet for later listening. So we're going to go to our next caller here, caller 904. Thanks for calling Words Make People. Can you give us your first name and your city and your comment, please?
My name is...
Go ahead, please.
What's the number, sir?
Get this 527.
Okay, assalamu alaikum. My name is Iman Shahid, and I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. Imam Nasser, I'd like to thank you for your many years of generous service to our community and humanity. My question is, how do we address our young children who have established friendships with children who have fallen victim to this type of behavior?
Good question.
Because they love their friends dearly.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them at this point, they think we're picking on them, we're being mean to them. So what do you think is the best way we can help them?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I tell them it's just like the children who are handicapped, physically handicapped, in a wheelchair and et cetera. That's a difference. They have full body control and their friends are handicapped, right? It has nothing
mm-hmm.
to do with the love that they have for the person, right? The love
mm-hmm.
is just pure love. But the way they relate to the person,
based on that limited physical range is the same thing. That's how you look at it, you know. You are different. I'm a male. I'm different than a female. So I have to accept that difference. Doesn't mean that she's inferior to me necessarily, or I am inferior to her, or I should dislike her. It's the fact that we cannot have society going forward without the differences in nature, the sacred roles of the male and the female. So this is how I address the children. They seem to get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They have friends when they're in school that are handicapped friends. You know, sometimes they see them, you know, and they don't make mockery of them. They respect them in most cases. And I address them that way, and they seem to be able to handle the analogy. You know, it's just a matter of sometimes just giving them an analogy, you know, or an example. Yeah, something in the everyday environment that they can see. They seem to do real well. You know, you have to put it on their level, and they'll tell you, I never thought about it like that. You know, one of my grandchildren told me, said, I don't judge anybody. This is what they told me, right? I don't judge nobody. 15 minutes later, see, I got about 40 grandchildren, right? So then 15 minutes later, about five of the other grandchildren started to mistreat her. So then she says to me, can you get them to stop treating me in such and such a way? So I told her, I said, I thought you didn't want to judge anybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
So sometimes circumstances themselves will help you with the job in a natural way. That's how I do
it.
I always point out to them their excellence. You know, they're excellent. The child that's normal, I point out to them, they're excellent. You're intelligent. You are dependable. You are responsible. So and so and so and so forth, and like that. And sometimes they have to hear that. You have to be reminded of their excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And then, indirectly, they can see the deficiency in another child without you even saying it. You know what I mean?
There are
many different ways.
If I may add a couple of thoughts on our sister's question, because it's a very good question. And Ibn Muhammad made this public. He said when he was put out of the Nation of Islam, he had nowhere to go. He had nowhere to sleep. And there was a friend of his who was gay. And you never said this right in the public, so I'm not saying anything people just can't find. And he stayed at his friend's place. His friend knew that the imam was straight and didn't come at him in any kind of way. But his gay friend knew the imam needed somewhere to rest, and nothing happened. So there's value in that message, because you don't take a person because they're gay or LGBTQ and overlook their positive qualities. You don't do that. You say, no, I don't accept the lifestyle. But, you know, everybody got good qualities. And also, let's take it one step further. If you go to your family reunion or your neighborhood reunion, somebody who you know and have known for years, and y'all still decent friends, but they want their lifestyle, you don't throw away their friendship because it's lifestyle. But you find a way to let them know, say, hey, look, you know, we made you cool, you know, we talking all that, but you know, hang with that. And most times they're going to respect you, say, yeah, I know. So I know I got people in my family, you know, but I love them just as much as I love my next cousin or my next person in the family. I love them no less.
Yes,
no
sir. Of course, you don't want them to disrespect their friends, but at the same time, you don't necessarily want them to continuously associate with them. So how are you going to find a way to dissuade them from associating with them?
Could I make a comment?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
a lot of times if the youth think that you are really pressuring them to give up associating with somebody, they may push back even more.
Correct.
So I would think that you, if you can tell the child that it's not necessarily your preference, but you respect, you know, their choice, but you also have confidence in them that they're going to keep the morals or whatever they, you know, the behavior that they have learned and that they have, where they have been established. And just like I just have confidence, something I necessarily care for, but I do have confidence in you that you will, you know, be able to maintain your, you know, your missing character or whatever. Something to that effect, however you all come.
Sister, Iman, I think you said your name was?
Yes, Iman.
Iman, I'm sorry. Because I know there's, because I went to my mind, if I had a child that's been time around someone that was gay, you're gonna ask questions there. What's going on? You know, why do you find a comfort? I mean, that's a natural parent concern. And so you're asking a very good question. You're like, you know, and so you get to have that heart-to-heart talk with your child. You know, because they are influenced. Our children are, you know, I tell the believers all the time, you think our Muslim children don't know all those curse words in the rap song? Yes, they do, because they're in that environment. You know, so we have to teach. You know, it's a battle. It is a battle.
Definitely.
So, yes, and I see anything you wanted to add to that, but you know, I know my son's coming up. I said you can't hang with Pookie. Well, I can't hang with Pookie. Pookie's trouble. You know, and the ending, they came back there alone, saying, "Yeah, you were right, because Pookie got." He got shot, right? But at that time, no, and of course this is going back some, I'm still going to grow now, but now they appreciate me saying, now you can't hang with so-and-so, because, and they couldn't see this person was trouble. But I could, because we older, we could see it. So, yes, a good question, and I can hear the sincerity in the question. I think what Sister Emma Trilla said, if you push too hard, then you're going to get an opposite reaction from what you do not want. But it goes back to education, you know, and we educate them before they encounter those situations the best we can. And we have to reiterate.
Uh-huh.
We have to reiterate all along. And so if we become intentional or not, if we become lazy parents, we don't feel like fighting against the truth for the shaitan. You can let this slide here, and the next time let this slide there, we are opening the door for our children to be swayed by influences that we know are not good for.
Just like what Imam had just said, it was real important to find out, ask the questions of the child as to what they see in the child, so they may say, well, people always pick on us, so I just, you know, want to be a friend or whatever. But I think that opens the conversation too, so you're not just saying, don't do this. But you're actually showing that you have concern for the choices that they are making and trying to just understand them.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Okay. Well, we do thank you, because you ask the question that need to be asked, because as the old saying, where the rubber meets the road, that's the kind of question you're asking. We need to have these kind of conversations as Muslim parents. And again, the show would be all time to say. Go ahead, buddy, man.
Yeah, you know, it's a kind of a rhetorical question, and you put it in another context. How you have your children that have friends that are drug dealers. You understand what I'm saying? They're in drugs.
Yes.
How do you deal with the child in that circumstance? They seem to love these
yes.
friends, you know what I mean? But they got infested family members that are in drugs, and sometimes the young children are selling drugs themselves and their friends.
Right.
How do you address it?
Yeah.
You have to address it on the basis of morality. What is wrong? What is best for that child? You know, and children, you know, we misunderstand them. They're more intelligent oftentimes than we give them credit for, you know.
Mm.
They just have to be told, and we have to trust in God. Like it says, and put your bread on the water. Eventually, it'll come back to you. That's old scripture.
Right.
The scripture says it.
Yes, sir.
You know,
thank you.
So we have to tell the child what is actually the truth. You know, the child can handle it. They might not like it, but they can handle it. Most certainly can handle it. You know, so you use that as an analogy. Because I have children whose friends were drug addicts and things of that nature. You see what I mean? And I had to sit them down and tell them. You got to tell them factually what is the truth. Yeah, you have to tell them. That's the obligation of the parent, you know?
Yes. And they come back there
particularly,
and they tell... your child coming later on and tell you thank you. But at that time, you know, I said, you can talk, you can wave a pookie. Hello? You can't hang a pookie.
Yeah.
No.
And the thing that you don't want from your child is when they become an adult and they tell you, why didn't you tell me? I don't know if you had that experience. That's the worst experience you can have. When your child tells you, you never said anything about this and so forth, and they're in trouble because of the fact that they didn't get information. You see what
That's
I mean?
True.
So some people, they worry about losing the child in the beginning, and the worst thing happens when the child is older and has gotten into trouble because of the lack of knowledge, you know, the lack of caution. And so now, look, we have to remember that this world knows how to put emotions in the place where intellect is supposed to rule, going back to what that brother said. And if you look at the anatomy of the body, the lungs is in a lower position than the brain. The lungs is in the position of emotion, and the brain is over the emotions and sits above the emotions. And as parents, we have to always remember that, because sometimes we get too emotionally attached to our child and we can't intellectually speak to them the truth that they need to hear, because we're worried about losing that baby. Well, you're going to lose them anyway. You see what I mean?
That's right.
Yeah.
Everybody, ma'am?
So
we got about 10 minutes. We got two more callers. We can see we got our last two callers.
Thank you, Sister Iman. Good to hear from you.
Yes, Sister Iman, yes. Call 214-306. You're on Word Link. People,
and thank you, Sister Iman.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Iman Rashida. That's why I thought you were talking to me with Iman. That's okay. And thank you, Imam Nasser Ahmed. I'm in the Dallas, Texas area, so, you know, I remember seeing you here many times. But I want to thank you for having this program, and it does take moral courage on our part to do so. And it reminded me of a message that was in a book that was compiled of Imam Muhammad's lectures, where he mentioned homosexuality, and he said that you're afraid to speak out against it now. You're afraid you might be hated by everyone. And so they are victims, you know, they're victims, just like the white racist is a victim or the other types of bigots are victim, because someone's turned people against humanity to create conflict, you know, and they sell more guns, they sell more weapons, they sell more everything that will turn us against each other and keep us against each other. Imam Nasser, when you talked about the significance of teaching our children about natural life and speaking to them about what Allah says in Quran and what many of you have talked about in terms of what Allah has created, you know, in terms of our oneness and then female and male and our purpose for being formed in that way and those things that have caused the difference. Our children and our grandchildren require us to be their advocates.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to listen very, very carefully about what even politicians are standing up for in this society. I heard our president say that, don't worry, youth, we're going to protect your gender-affirming care. The National Institute of Health just had a study, they were a study of 312 youth to prove that if the parents do not, this is part of what they're doing, but if the parents do not support their children when they feel the need to be something else, that is abusive on the part of parents. And so you've got a few states that are standing against not able to be in the office with the child and the doctor. Texas is one of them standing up. Only four had stood up so far. And our administration, the government, national government, is saying we will file lawsuits against those states that stand for those parents because these children have rights. So look at the bigger picture here, okay? And leadership is critical. Imam Muhammad did not leave us without leadership. We have to have leadership on all the local levels, but we need a broader leadership, too, that is not just us rehearsing what we believe Imam Muhammad said or what we heard him say, but in terms of right now, what's going on, that leadership that is there. I believe that Imam Earl Abdul Malik Muhammad has a very prime importance in this. I think we all need to be working together. I think population control, and I just want to say this quickly, population control is rampant, is huge. What our sister Amatula said about endocrine disruptors, it's in everything, guys. It's in the water. It's in the plastic bottles. Look that up. Look up xenoestrogens, estrogen mimicking chemicals and foods. Xeno, X-E-N-O estrogens, xenoestrogens. It's all over the place. Follow the money. The cost of having a transformation,
yes,
what they call an MTF surgery. I just want to say that quickly. Look it up. So we have to take some positions, and we can't be in our closets to do it. That's why it takes a national broader, because the Honorable Muhammad spoke to everybody. Imam Muhammad spoke to everybody, not just to Muslims. Thank you for having this, and I pray that we can work together. We must work together. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
We must have moral leadership. We got to have moral leadership. Okay, last caller, 510-407. Thanks for calling, Warriors Bay people. Can you give us your name and your comment, please, your city, please?
As-salamu alaykum. Cheryl, that is. I'm Cheryl.
Who?
In the Bay Area. I'm Bay Area, California. I'm in El Sobrante, California.
Yes, ma'am.
I find it interesting that the women are the last ones on the show. We have like no time left to talk. I wanted to say two things. You there was a caller who I do want to talk about the endocrine disruptors. I'm a molecular cell biologist and biochemist. So I'd say something about it because it's very important. That it's not a conversation that is like skimmed over, because it is something that the endocrine connection is not just connected to this, but it's connected to many of the problems that we see in our communities on diabetes and obesity and cardiovascular systems, on growth and neurological and learning disabilities. It's tied to everything. Everybody is hearing about PFAS, pesticides, and ADHD in our children, and psychological stress and neurological and behavioral changes and reduced ability to handle stress and metabolism and the reproductive issues that we see in our communities. All of that is tied to EDCs. DDT and BPA and phthalates and PCBs in our communities, all of that is tied. But in our ability to have our children who are not of low birth weight, patient problems, or the inability to get pregnant in the first place. The exposure to estrogen and androgen-mimicking EDCs, they promote breast and prostate cancer, and hormonal cancer therapy is not helping. So that's a whole different show. But it is something that everybody needs to be paying attention to, from soy milk.